If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well, danalash.com, channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. So, which I like, I think that's very smart to do. It is July, Independence Day Eve.
Yes.
So, because where I come from, you have Independence Day, but you also have Independence Day Eve, which is like hobbits having second breakfast. And that's how we've always celebrated it, because you get double the night of fireworks. It's amazing. Except now it's a little weird. Like, our town that we live in is still having the fireworks, except we're all supposed to watch them from our backyard, and which is fine. I get it. But you got to stop having everything shut down. If you are in a vulnerable demographic, then stay home. But the entire world cannot go to hell in a handbasket because we have leaders who don't want to acclimate. And there's a huge difference in saying that you are concerned about any potential potentially contracting a virus, and you're also concerned about how other individuals may suffer, but you're also concerned that businesses are shut down and et cetera, et cetera. We can't go back to what we were. You have to acclimate, you have to adapt, or that's it, because you're never going to be 100% safe. And I feel like that's kind of like the theme that needs to be driven home this Independence Day. So last night at the dinner table, we had a massive debate. And that's how I'm going to lead the show and get into all the stuff that we have for you today. Massive debate at Lash dinner table last night. Like a knockdown, drag out debate. I mean, not physically, but not saying I didn't want to. But it's not a protest. It's a revolution. I always come back to that, to what that Mark McCloskey said. They've been telling you that it's a revolution for a long time. A lot of people on the right just haven't taken them seriously. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. We had this big conversation with my kids last night because they were like, well, why don't people just go and arrest that mayor? Arrest the mayor in Seattle. Okay, for what? No, look, I believe I am right there with you. Believe me, you're not going to find, really, there are few people who are bigger hellraisers than I have been for the right. But you got to be logical about this. I mean, they were going on like, well, she needs to be arrested and charged with like a bunch of made up laws and this and this. I'm like, okay, I get you. My older one obviously was less bombastic than the younger one. I said, okay, for what? What are you going to arrest her for? Well, she didn't uphold the law. Okay, well, there is a little bit of discretion there as a city leader. That's why you got to be careful who you elect mayor and who you elect as city council. My youngest was like, well, just why can't, I don't understand why the president can't just go in there. And I go, what for? He goes, well, clearly they're voting for some bad things and it's hurting people. He needs to go in. I go, so you're telling me that because there are some people in Seattle that vote a way that you don't like and they get the consequence of their voting thrust upon them, that the president of the United States should go in and he should overrule that. I go, so what you're willing to do is offer up someone to come to Texas and do that to us because you want to do that to those people now. I didn't like that answer. Oh, no, didn't like that answer. So it isn't a protest. It's a revolution. And that's how all of you out there need to start looking at this that way. There was the period, the War of Independence was the War of Independence. The American Revolution is not the War of Independence. That's the consequence of the American Revolution. The War of Independence was the last recourse. Conflict is the last recourse. after you have said every speech, after you have tried to persuade every mind, after you have tried to change every heart, after you have tried passionately to plead your case to voters, and the march towards destruction and lawlessness and tyranny continues, it is the last recourse. And people who keep going and who seriously, not facetiously, say that, well, maybe we should have another civil war. You people, those people out here talking about that, you can't even get your asses out of your office chair to go and go door to door with people. The hell you sitting here trying to convince me and everyone else that you're willing to go and wear a pack and go out and fight your fellow countrymen out, you know, here in the United States. Shut up. If you haven't gone door to door, if you haven't phone banked, if you haven't sacrificed weekends, weeks, your vacation, months to do this, as I and other people have many times before, you wouldn't last a second in a conflict. If you don't have the stomach to do the easy part, you sure as hell won't be able to last in the hard part. I have nothing but contempt for those kind of people. I don't care what side they're on. I'm still fired up. I was watching, I had Fox on last night, you know, because I sit my kids in front of Fox and I make them, they make crafts out of ammunition, right? It's like spaghetti necklaces, but they string together, you know. It's craft time at Lash House. So I had Fox on, I'm always reading content. I am always 24/7 prepping. I just enjoy reading stuff. Had it on and I was looking at something else, and then I heard the dad. This is unbelievable. This is one of the most heartbreaking interviews I've ever seen broadcast on television. The dad of the 19-year-old, same named, Horace Lorenzo Anderson, was on Fox last night. Now, this is what started the discussion. This dad had a 19-year-old. As I understand it, it was special needs. The kid ended up going with somebody down to the chop zone, and he was killed. Now, when your kids are going to protests and stuff, I mean, it's the United States of America. You don't necessarily think that they're going to come back in a body bag, right? Of course, you don't necessarily think that the mayor of Seattle is going to allow everything to just, you know, everybody to run roughshod. This was one of the things that pushed Mayor Jenny Summerlove to dismantle. Of course, the kicker was when she had protesters on her doorstep. 16-year-old, a 15-year-old was critically injured. I mean, this is, actually his was 16. There was a 19-year-old, excuse me, I'm conflating the two. There was another separate 19-year-old that was shot and killed. The dad of the older one there, he was heartbroken last night. I want you to listen to this man. Listen to this. He was on Hannity last night with a friend of his. Listen.
Man, somebody was supposed to go in there and help my son, you know.
Can I play you something, sir?
Just anybody helping him. They should have came in there and helped my son. And even after that, still, I need to, man, let me know. I shouldn't know from some little kids. I should have somebody, I'm 50 years old. Somebody should have knocked on my door and said, man, we need to sit down and talk to you and let you know what's going on. Because I still don't know what's going on. I'm hearing from YouTube and all. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. All I know is my son's dead and I don't know nothing. And I'm still trying to figure out answers so I can sleep. I don't sleep, you know?
Yeah. And it was unbelievable. And he was making this plea. He just broke down on air. And this, I think the nation just, judging by social media, just was lit. Listen.
I couldn't see him that day. That was Saturday. It took all the way till Thursday. I just seen him just last week, just Thursday. And they had to, whatever they did to him and make him so they presentable, whatever it was. But I need to, you know, I got to finally see him, and then in my heart, I knew it was my son now. This is my son, because, you know, I wouldn't want nobody else's son. And, man, this is incredible. These kids and the kids that passed, whatever, what happened the other day, you know, all this on this child. Man, this is incredible. These are kids, man. I'm 50 years old. Man, these are kids, man. They should have been stopped this a long time ago. It's starting to get... excuse me, but it's getting to the point. You know where, you know it's getting.
Gotcha.
How do you watch that and not ask the mayor, what in the hell is wrong with you? How do you not ask these people? I thought you said Black Lives Matter. Now, I watched a friend of mine, Lawrence Jones, who I brought over to the Blaze when I first moved to Texas. And he's with Fox now. And I watched him as he was there in New York, and he was talking to some of those same protesters who keep screaming Black Lives Matter. And I watched this skinny-ass white progressive get in his face and start ordering him around. I watched two white people, Lily White, get in his face, you know, because Black Lives Matter. These Marxists who wrap themselves in black skin, and through that, they want to completely reorganize America, not to benefit black Americans or even white Americans, but Marxists. That's when I was done. I was done after that. If you're at one of these protests, it's a revolution. You don't care about black lives. You don't give a damn about any lives. You care about lawlessness. They've been telling you this whole time, folks, that it's a revolution. The American Revolution was the thought and the argument and the passion that led up to the War of Independence. We're there now. That's where we are. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So, leave the wildlife alone. You know, there are a lot of people going to our nation's parks because there's a lot of road trips and a lot of kind of sort of staycations. That does not mean you can go and pet a bison. But that's what happened to this woman in Yellowstone. She attempted, now this is what the park rangers were saying, to quote, follow it closely. She was pushed to the Monday before that, a week ago, there was a woman who was pushed to the ground and scratched by a bear that she tried to pet. Who does this? What is wrong with you people? The other woman who got in trouble with the bison, she had to be airlifted to the hospital. She's 72 years old. It was the Bridge Bay Campground. She approached the animal. She was going to take a picture and, according to rangers, pet it. What in the world? Are we that disassociated with wildlife that we have to reacclimate to it right now? Are you kidding me, people? Good heavens. The park says, by the way, guys, remember, bisons are wild animals, and they respond to threats. They'll display aggressive behavior. Don't pet the damn things. Oh my gosh. Bill de Blasio says that Black Lives Matter is going to be painted outside of Manhattan's Trump Tower in a matter of days. He just solved all the systemic racisms. Yeah, we've got that, and apparently now Mount Rushmore has to go. Like, for real. We got that and a ton more. Stick with us.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got another question on the budget, but did you say officially you're going to paint Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower? Is that
happening? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it's an important message to the whole nation. And obviously, we want the president to hear it because he's never shown respect for those three
words.
Oh, my
gosh. I can't hear anything. Good job, Bill. You really got him. Burp, burp, burp. You solved all the racisms. You did. You solved all the racisms. I love people who don't do anything. Nothing. Literally nothing. And then they go, well, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to paint some words on the street here in front of the building. Yeah. You can hear himself. You can hear him talk himself into it. I got the impression that he just came out with this on the fly, and his staffers are going, "Oh, for crying out loud, what?" Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Live stream, simultaneously broadcasted, YouTube and official Dana Lash on Facebook. And he solved all of the problems. He solved all of them. And then, but yet you still can't get together, though, and have Church 21, Audio Soundbite 21. Remember, he's still banning the churching.
The court said you openly discouraged religious gatherings and threatened religious worshipers and sent a clear message that mass protests are deserving of preferential treatment, essentially saying that you treated the protesters who were on the streets differently than the religious gatherings that were on the streets. Your reaction? No,
just wrong. We worked with the religious leadership of this city for months.
Like
Cardinal Dolan
in
the Catholic Church and so many other religious leaders
for the Jewish
who
residents?
Were in full agreement that it was not time to bring back religious services because of the danger it would cause to their congregants.
Oh, for crying out loud. But hey, we can go. This is, oh my gosh. Wow. Sidebar. I know the FCC chairman. Are you sure we can't just like throw caution to the wind here?
Hey, it's your Friday.
Oh my gosh.
I
literally think I'm going to email him and be like, hey, can I get some, can I get social justice, right? I mean, don't I just say some social justice phrases and I get a pass? Here's my payment. It's like indulgences. Here's my payment. Here's some social justice phrases. Oh, okay. Then you can call someone a blank on air. Thank you. Now say 15 social justice phrases. And isn't it? It's what it's like,
yeah,
right?
Like Hail Mary.
Exactly. 15 social justice phrases. Just say those at night before bed. And that's how it is.
It's like when I went to reconciliation in Catholic Church, when you say three Hail Marys and your sins are absolved.
Right.
Is that the trade rate there? The exchange rate?
Yeah, the Father tells you what you need to do, and then he absolves your sins. So you say three Hail Marys, and poof.
I think the more Hail Marys, the worse the thing is, right? I think
yeah, kind of.
So, okay, sidebar here. I'm fascinated by this. Again, I was raised Baptist, so, you know, I love learning about stuff. Non-denominational now. If someone's like, you have to say 50 Hail Marys, say that you heard someone tell someone else that they had to say 50 Hail Marys. Is that like they hit a body level bad?
That could be 50.
I don't know what the limit is, but I've never had to say 50.
I just am curious is whether or not there's an established exchange rate. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Is, but 50 seems like, man, that's double murder.
Right? Dang. Goodness. So... the reason that I bring all this up is, let me give you my state of mind last night. So I had my kids arguing with each other because, and then I'm trying to lead them down a road of logic because I told you my oldest son wants to be a neocon and we go round and round. God love him. It's the youthful zeal and,
genetics.
Well, not so much genetics. No, not really. I was never like that hardcore with that particular aspect. You can, you're okay, liar. And you need to say it's like five Hail Marys now, the exchange rate. Or three social justice warrior phrases,
yes,
right? Believe all women can be one.
Okay. Like
so sitting at the dinner table, I was in the kitchen. We'd eaten dinner. I was doing stuff, putting stuff up in the kitchen. And the dad, Mr. Horace Lorenzo Anderson was on Hannity and he's crying. The nation's crying with him. And I look at Twitter because I don't know why I did that. And I always try to watch my mouth as best as possible on social media. It is my only vice in life. And it wasn't really great last night with this one because it was immediately like I had such a visceral reaction. It, basically flooded my brain filter and any filters that stood in between my brain and then the physical action of typing out a response and hitting send tweet. So this is what got me. Again, keep in mind, Mr. Horace Lorenzo Anderson is crying about how Chop killed his son. And I'm watching another friend of mine, white progressives, be racist because progressives are racist. Be racist towards my friend who's covering what was happening in New York. And then I see this from ABC. I kid you not. New government data shared first with ABC News shows the country's premier outdoor spaces, its 419 national parks, remain overwhelmingly white.
What?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. They say, quote, a mostly white workforce, visitation threatens park survival and public health. What? You damn white people. As million, they didn't say that last part. And they talk about how as people have been altering their travel plans and changing things for vacation, they'll leave quarantine and they'll go into the great outdoors. So a lot of people are camping more than ever. Apparently boat sales are through the roof. And the guy who's with the Sierra Club, he literally said the sentence physically with his mouth. Quote, the outdoors and public lands suffer from the same systemic racism that the rest of our society does. We have a lot of work to do. So basically, the outdoors are racist.
Wow.
Did you have that on your bingo card for 2020, America?
No moose out front told me.
No. Trees is racist. Told you. So my response... Again, this was not my most graceful moment. I said, so the outdoors is racist. What in the ever-loving hell is wrong with you people? If you division-selling grifters had an ounce of ethics or humanity, you'd feel overwhelming shame for this burp headline. And I mean every syllable of it. Hmm. I mean, they act like there are signs posted outside of the parks. One of my followers, Bob, said, yeah, they act like that there's a sign outside saying whites only right at the edge of the forest.
Right.
What? Wait, can we talk from how do parks work?
You get to choose if you visit or not, Dana.
No, but is there ever an instance where they choose if you visit?
No, never.
No?
Nope, it's not how it works.
Steve, let me pull you real quick. Have you ever been to one of our nation's beautiful parks?
I have. I live next to one.
So did you, by going, did you make that choice or did the racist park make you go?
I mean, sometimes dogs want to go to the park, and I just follow them because I like dogs too much. But I don't think dogs or humans are racist for going to parks.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. It brings up a solid point.
I never know what I'm going to get when I ask Steve a question. I never know how it's going to work out. Well, I follow a lot of dogs, so. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm done. I mean, and they talk about, and the UK the Telegraph had a story like this where they said, yes, people face discrimination outdoors. How?
I don't get it.
I mean, it's nature. How do they experience discrimination outdoors? This is a shameful article, and the people who wrote it should be shamed. They should be publicly shamed. Oh my gosh. I had one follower, Michelle, who said, yes, I'm white and I worked in Montana and I decided I wanted to drive to Yellowstone. I realize now that it was my white supremacy that drove me there, not my rental car. I mean, we have to, this is ridiculous. How in the world is this in any way helpful?
It's not.
I mean, they're driving division. They're grifters. They are driving division. They say, well, fewer people of color visit our parks. Okay, so the story is that, now we understand how parks work. People choose to go to parks.
Yep.
Parks don't choose people to go to them.
Right.
Okay, so if people are choosing to go to parks, one group goes to a park more than another group goes to a park, does that mean that the outdoors are racist? Or is it just that some people are making some choices that other people do not make? Do, 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 do. It's where we are.
I think ABC is, I guess they're advocating for forcing people to go to the park.
Are they going to show up at our house? Are we going to have like a new style of red flag law? It's to fight the racism. Gosh, the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. The U.S. Census Bureau projected, they say that they're talking about people of color will be, and the leftists are obsessed with noting how many people in the United States are minorities. I don't, I've never cared because I just don't. I care, do you like firearms and do you vote against socialists? That's all I care about. The this, though, now they're but you understand what they're doing here. This is very similar to how third wave feminists shame women. They try to shame women for the choices that women make. So I remember one time, this was like 12 years ago, Linda Hirschman, who's this annoying, ridiculous grifter of third wave feminist, who had said that college age women or college graduates and who are women, if they choose to stay home with their families, that they're betraying their sex. You're shaming women for choices that you said feminism was brought about to give them. So if the feminism, if it was successful, at least arguing on their from their perspective, and women have the free will to make choices and do things that they were unable to do before. And so if they make choices that don't align with the choices you would make, that means that it didn't work and that you should shame them for it. Because then I look at the same, it's the same thing. If you have some people that are going outside to parks and other people who are not going outside to parks, why is the immediate reaction that this is some sort of systemic racism with the outdoors? This is how desperate these people are to drive this narrative. Every damn thing I've ever said about the media is 1,000% true, and they know it. They've tried to come after me so hard, and some people on the right have helped them because they're grifters. And every single thing that I've ever said has been right on this. Now, speaking of the outdoors, no one joke about anything else being canceled because apparently there is some kind of phenomena happening where if you joke about it, it happens. So the New York Times tweeted this. Mount Rushmore was built on land that belonged to the Lakota tribe and sculpted by a man who had strong bonds with the Ku Klux Klan. It features the faces of two U.S. presidents who were slaveholders. My friend Andrew Clavin said, the New York Times, a former newspaper, was built on land that belonged to the Canarsie tribe and covered up both the Holocaust and the communist starvation of millions. Yeah, which is 1,000% true. You realize that Native American nations had slaves, right? The five civilized tribes had slaves. Cherokee had slaves. Everyone realizes this, right? Are we going to pretend that it was only... And look, slavery's bad. It's bad. It's evil. It's evil. I shouldn't have to say that to remind people every 2 seconds because they have difficulty with object permanence. But they warred with each other. And they also had slaves. And Lakota took that land from another nation. So stop. Where is the limit? They want to go only so far back. No, we're going to stop here at this guy. We're not going to go back to the Lakota taking that from somebody. We're going to stop right here. No, it's not how that works. We have a lot more in store because I'm sure that we're... The only reason we're even hearing about Mount Rushmore is because the president's doing the Independence Day thing there. Distract them with a shiny object. Meanwhile, while people are fighting over pronouns here, there have been hundreds arrested in Hong Kong. The crackdown, riot police, tear gas, pepper pellets. Protesters are defying the first day of China's draconian new security law, wherein they are just issuing harsh control over Hong Kong. So we're going to discuss that as well and get into a bunch of other stuff too, including some 2020 aspects, issues too.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
It's our Independence Day bumper tracks. I'm not going to be on air tomorrow with y'all. I'm taking finally a little bit of time anyway. Technically. Yeah, you know, technically. But, you can find me at DanaLash.com in the meantime. And I'll still be on the socials. Dana Lash on Parlay. Actually, Parler. Dana Lash on Parler. And at DLash on Twitter, too. I have so many cancel culture headlines, I am done. You want to hear the latest? I need someone to explain this to me. I legitimately do. A college is considering nixing their mascot. It's a wasp. Because WASP is an acronym for White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Although they just wanted literally a bug, I think. Right. An angry, aggressive wasp. Exactly. And they say that it's literally the people who were talking about the mascot, because it's Emory and Henry College in Virginia. They say it's literally a reference to an insect. That's the school's administration is seeking out any and all reasons that students may be offended by something. So they're at a wasp, a literal bug. Wow. I'm telling you guys, the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. This isn't a protest. It is a revolution. It is a revolution. Told you that before. And in the meantime, the folks in Hong Kong are in the midst of a real one. China has cracked down. Beijing's embassy in London said it opposed the offer that Britain made. Britain said, look, we are totally, you can bring 3 million Hong Kongers over here. We're totally fine with that. Remember, UK was essentially administering Hong Kong, and then it was given back to China with the understanding that they were still going to be a part of China, but have this somewhat separate freedom and this economic liberty, which is why people got a taste of freedom. After people taste freedom, it's really difficult to get them to go back to anything else. And so protests continue. It's going to get real bad before it gets worse there. And we have a lot more in store for you coming up. What you need to know ahead of Independence Day weekend. Stick with us. Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts like a free phone or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
He wants to defund and abolish police because that's what he's being told to do. He's not making his own decisions. The radical left is doing, they're telling him what to do. He wants to defund and abolish the police. And you see it, what they're doing in Minnesota. Take a look at what they're doing in Minneapolis. Take a look at what's going on. Now, if I wasn't here, Minnesota would have been a disaster, because I was very strong. You got to get the guard out. When they finally got the guard out, everything ended.
Yeah, he's not wrong. It's a president, obviously, who is he spoke two different times today, and he's saying the radical left, they're telling Biden what to do, which is true. Biden will do whatever it takes to get himself elected. That he's aware of. Yeah. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, channel 248 Pluto TV via the First. And where to start? Because it's my last show before Independence Day, and then I'm going to be back with you next Tuesday. But I'm taking a little. I haven't had time off since Christmas, so it is needed. I keep saying over and over again, and I need people to realize this. It is not a protest. It is a revolution. That's what all of this is. I was reading a headline the other night, actually, and I saw it again today. The rioters in Portland are elk racist.
What?
Elk?
Elk.
They.
The animal?
Burned, and I don't know why people try to burn stone and things that are bronze. They burned and destroyed a historic fountain representing an elk. According to Washington Examiner, they ripped the wood paneling from the statue called the Thompson Elk Fountain. They lit a bonfire underneath it. The fountain sits outside of the city's federal courthouse. The statue is one of the largest species in the deer family. It's been around for 120 years. It's named after David Thompson, a railroad surveyor, blah, blah, blah. And it's just an elk. And they tore it down. I don't know why people are... Is anybody else, like, I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, is anybody else getting, you know, that Cecil B. DeMille, like, Moses coming down from the mountain thing and he sees everybody, like, with the golden calf and all that? Anybody else getting those same vibes? Yeah. Just me? Yeah. You getting them? You getting those vibes too?
For a while.
Some people are about to have some tablets thrown at their heads. So it sounds like. Gosh dang. I just. And then in Wisconsin, they tore down a statue of a literal Civil War hero who fought to end slavery. It's not about race. It's not about black lives, and it's not about police brutality. If you think that, you're naive. It has never been about that. This is about a revolution. This is about remaking the country in the image of the Marxists that are organizing all of this. That's what it is. And people have to stand up to it. Never been to Need of the Rage Mob. I've never been to Need of the Rage Mob. Literally in person in an arena. I'm telling you, it's not going to change until people stop accommodating this. The whole Mount Rushmore controversy. Now everybody's mad about Mount Rushmore. And I just can't take seriously calls from anyone to dismantle Mount Rushmore, especially when any of those individuals have taken that land from other people. That's not how that works. I think people should ignore that. I hope Trump ignores it. Everybody should. This is ridiculous at this point. Now, Seattle's CHOP, Mayor Jenny, 31 people were arrested. They brought the bulldozers out. The police took back their precinct. Have you seen the pictures of the cleanup that workers have to do?
Oh, man.
I mean, graffiti. It's like a child's table at a restaurant. Drawings everywhere. Graffiti everywhere. They're taking down all this stuff. It's just junk. It's just junk. So it just looks like somebody dropped a bunch of dumpsters there. So they're cleaning it up now, but Mayor Jenny only reacted, however, when protesters showed up on her doorstep. As I was telling you, this was the big discussion that we had at the dinner table last night. And these people that keep voting for this, I don't know how many people are going to have their eyes opened. But it's kind of like one of the things my husband brought up. It's sort of like the parable of the story of the prodigal son. You know, the dad has these two sons and the one son's like, I want my inheritance now. I want it now. I want everything now. Give me what I am owed. And as he's throwing around his entitlement and all of this stuff, his brother is still working in the fields and, you know, doing everything his dad asks him to do and is serving without complaint and doing everything expected of him. And the other son's going, I want what's mine. I want what's owed to me. I want it now. So his dad gives him his inheritance and the son leaves. And he goes out, he parties it up. He's got a lot of friends when he's paying the bills. He's got a lot of friends when he's buying the drinks, when he's throwing the money out. But then the money runs out. And so do the son's friends. And he comes to his low point when he's in a mud pit. He's in a pig pen, having to sleep with the livestock to keep warm and eating their slop. And he thinks to himself, you know, even the servants in my father's house had a better life than I do right now. And so he was humbled. He was humbled in the mud. And he trudges back to his dad's house. And people see the son coming up the road to the dad's house. And they run and they tell the dad. And the dad is so excited. He's like, get the fattened calf. Let's have a banquet. And the other son, who'd been toiling and working, was livid. How are you doing this? How are you doing this when he left? But to the dad, it wasn't important that he had left. What was important was that he came back. And I was telling my kids this last night, I'm like, you know, some of these people who maybe they voted for the left, maybe they voted for Democrats, Maybe they've supported these policies. But then they saw these policies in action. Maybe this is their time in the mud. And they see what this hath wrought. And a lot of them are changing. This is one of the reasons why I was so excited over the historic record number of background checks that have been performed. Just in, not just for the month of June, but in the first 6 months of 2020 alone. Because in 2019, that year was on record as having the most background checks since it was being measured. Now, you know that a simple check, just again, a caveat, it's not an indication of the number of firearms purchased, because you can purchase multiple firearms with one background check. But you can tell how many newer people are going through it. And you can get an indication. You can get a pretty good idea, especially when you hear that different manufacturers are out for a lot. Like Kel-Tec, for instance, they're sold out of their P17. It's gone. It's backordered. So the number of background checks, was it 2019? It was like 28 million. So far, for the first 6 months of 2020, it's over 19 million. We are on pace to almost double that. A lot of these people are new gun owners. I hope they go out and get training. They're new gun owners. Let me tell you this. People vote guns. They vote guns. I may not pay attention to all of the polling out there because so much of it's too early and it's a lot of bunk. If you really wanted to look at polling, a lot of the local newspaper stuff is going to be a lot more reliable. But this background check numbers is super reliable. It was very reliable in 2016. I remember we had a record number in 2016 as well. You have this record number of background checks coupled with Democrats demanding to defund the police and images of riots and assaults and destruction and murder, all distilled through the boob tube into people's homes. People vote guns. And out of any election ever, this may be the one where some people are solely motivated entirely by that one issue. Especially in the issues and where people have been going into residential areas. And there are no atheists in foxholes, and there are no people who are against guns when they are faced with lethal threat. And the number of firearms that are being purchased and the number of background checks is a measure of people's concern. It is a measure of people's concern for the rhetoric that they're hearing, defunding the police. Police, NYPD, they had to leave. I retweeted this headline just the other day. NYPD had to leave their positions at City Hall in New York City. So they established the new CHAZ there. They had to leave their positions. This headline comes out while you got the dad on Fox bawling because his kid was murdered by Marxists and CHOP. America's arming up at a historic pace. Media morons are scratching their heads and going, I guess it's because of racism. I'm telling you, it's not a protest, it's a revolution. They've been telling you this all along. All along. And I think it is absolute naivete of the right to think that these people don't mean what they say. I was talking to Jesse Kelly, actually, and he was agreeing with me. He says, it's fantasy. Oh, well, they'll never actually try that. It won't happen. Yeah, they will. And they have. They're at least honest about it when they tell you. It's the only time they ever may be honest. But that number, that background check number, that's a very good indication as to what 2020 could look like. And have you seen some of these other elections, whether it's Burgess Owens won his primary and Lauren Boebert and some of these others? Have you seen the voter turnout, the GOP enthusiasm for that? That's the other thing that you can measure reliably is voter enthusiasm. I'm telling you. There you go. There's something to it. Trump still has a fine line that he's got to walk. It is a very difficult politically still. We're going to talk more about that. We also have America at its limit, the backlash, because people are done. They're done.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or the First, channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
They arrested that Ghislaine, we had debate on how to pronounce her name, Ghislaine Maxwell, the, wingman for notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. She was taken into custody around 8:30 this morning, according to the FBI. She was in New Hampshire. She's been kind of hiding since last summer. She popped up at a fast food burger joint months ago, and then nobody knew where she went. And then now in New Hampshire, and they've arrested her. They need to have like 15,000 guards in there and cameras at every single angle. It needs to be like that movie Glass, what was it, when Bruce Willis, and you had Sam Jackson, and then that one dude, and they were all in these rooms, and then they had these cameras everywhere on them with lasers and stuff. That needs to be in there. You need to have that in there. Make it so. GOP senators debate replacing Columbus Day with Juneteenth as a federal holiday, which somebody noted that the previous president never tweeted or said anything about Juneteenth ever. But I mean, look, I'm not opposed with making it a federal holiday. Do you have to take something else away? I don't think you need to remove one holiday to accommodate another. Elon Musk's Tesla is valued at $209 billion and overtakes Toyota to become the world's most valuable car manufacturer as share price surges to record high. A Harvard graduate who made a TikTok video threatening to stab anybody who said all lives matter and says for black people, the slogan was like comparing a paper cut to a knife wound, was fired from her job. Clara Janover. She criticized the slogan, said that she would stab people if she heard it, and she complained about the, quote, audacity of white privilege, end quote. She has 113,000 followers on TikTok, and she was heard saying in the clip, whoever has the sheer nerve, the sheer entitled caucasity to say all lives matter, I'm going to stab you. She goes, I'm going to stab you, and while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'm going to show you my paper cut and say my cut matters too. Yeah, she got fired, and now she's complaining that she got fired after she was threatening to stab people. Being told that someone looks grumpy actually makes them seem even grumpier. This is according to a new, very important study that money must be spent on. Literally, I'm not making this up. DC has been sued over Black Lives Matter painted on city streets, reports the Washington Times. Judicial Watch was leading this fight. They went to court Wednesday demanding access to paint the streets of Washington with its own message and were denied. So now there is that's a very interesting difference there. We have Julio Rosas is going to be joining us. No, wait, who do we have? We'll be back after this. He's coming up later on.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Our young people need to be reached. They don't need to be policed. They need to be reached and supported and nurtured. And that's what we're doing. Not only $1 billion you're talking about, another $500 million beyond that to create recreation centers, places young people can go that are positive, to create broadband access for young people in public housing. We've got to do a lot of things differently if we're going to change the reality for so many of our young people in the society. And one of the places we were able to find that money was in our police budget.
Oh, boy. That's Bill de Blasio, his honor, Groundhog Killer, It's my favorite gif. That thing, he did kill that thing.
Yeah.
It hit the pavement. Isn't that awful? Like, you can't control a groundhog better than that? Is it a mammal, marsupial? What is it? My kids would know. Anyway, Bill de Blasio. The problem isn't... problem is internet, guys. We need more of it to solve the problems. If only everything could be so reductive. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, danalash.com. Apologies, because I was messing up thinking that we had Julio. We were going to have him today, and then he had to go somewhere else for another story he was covering. So he's actually, I think, on a train somewhere, so he couldn't join us. So we'll get in touch with him next week. There was a lot of stuff happening. We're trying to juggle it. All right. So that's not the problem. The problem is young people are reached. Young people are being reached. The problem is that we don't have enough structure and we don't have discipline and we don't have enough fathers. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't have that we need more of. You know, it's a great strategy. Just just deconstruct the family unit and make people dependable upon government, make dads seem as though they can be substituted easily by Uncle Sam, make mothers dependent upon the states, and make children wards of the state. That's how you raise up an easily controlled society. Very interesting. So it's not that young people need to be reached. It's that a lot of this garbage needs to stop being indulged. My friend Ben Dominic has a very good piece up at The Federalist. And I really think that you need to take some of this into consideration. Things that you can do. I said this yesterday, that the whole thing with the pandemic and everything else, all of this is nothing more. It's all part of it. It's all not a protest. It's a revolution. All of this is meant to impact 2020. I saw this other headline where they were discussing the jobs numbers, because we had really good jobs numbers that came out. And I'm trying to pull this up here. We had really good jobs numbers that came out. And all of the headlines that I have seen associated with us say, oh, yes, it's great right now. But yes, the pandemic may actually probably make it to where it's not going to be great. They may make it to where it's going to slow down the recovery even more. It's not going to be as good. It's, oh, goodness. This is stupid. They're good jobs numbers. It's showing you that we're actually rebounding faster. Here's this. The Associated Press. They say, breaking. Unemployment falls to 11.1% as the U.S. added a record 4.8 million jobs in June. But pandemic dims outlook for further gains. Every single one of these headlines announcing the jobs numbers and how the recovery is actually going great, they have to follow it up with, but the pandemic, though. Interesting. No, you should want the economy to do well. But you have people who want power so badly that they're willing to throw all of us under the bus to get it. All of it. All of us under the bus to get it. Kids don't need to. It's not even about that. We need to stop indulging this ridiculousness and stop acting like what is happening is just, there's one thing to protest over what you perceive to be police brutality and injustice and policing reform. But that's not what we've been seeing on our televisions when buildings are burning and people are getting assaulted and old ladies are getting hit in the head and people are occupying streets again and doing all of this stuff. That's not a protest. That's a revolution. Black Lives Matter was hijacked back in 2015. I told you all this. We've gone over this a million times. And all of this, I think, is a reaction to the Tea Party when conservatives finally stepped up and started protesting. It looked really weird because, you know, we just didn't do that. I remember when I organized the St. Louis, the first one for St. Louis, on the steps of the arch with a miniature bullhorn. I had no idea how many people were going to show up. I had no idea if people were going to show up. It's just not something that was done. At least by conservatives. But when conservatives stand up, it changes. When the right pushes back, when the backlash happens, it stops. And so this is this piece that I had mentioned. It's over at The Federalist. You need to think of what can you do? Because there aren't a lot of people on the right that are really very vocally pushing back, standing up, because people are scared. I get it. They're scared. Not a lot of people want to because they're scared. You see all kinds of protests, but you don't really see a lot of, like, are there rallies in support of police? That's one thing I think that people should do. You should have a rally and support your local law enforcement. Have a rally to support them, to show support, to stand with them. I'll never forget talking to some friends of mine, and they were telling me that one of their friends, her husband is a police officer, and he was telling his wife that in the town in which we live, he had never been flipped off so many times before. just because he's a cop. He's never been flipped off like that before. And he didn't want to provoke protest by eating out anywhere, so he would get like a sandwich at the grocery store or some Lunchables and eat in his car. That's ridiculous. These are grown adults. No, the problem isn't that, oh, well, kids aren't being reached. No, the problem is that you have adults out there that are acting like brats, and you have this ridiculous entitlement nonsense that's being indulged, and the social justice warrior crowd. It's really, really hard to not let your anger and frustration get the best of you in this moment. There's indignation, and then there's grace, and there's times for both and times for one over the other. I was reading about another statue that was being targeted and taken down. Why the hell are we taking out statues when we have a guy who wore blackface sitting in the governor's office in Virginia? Yeah, why in the hell are we taking down a damn elk statue in Portland when you got a Robert Byrd statue out there? I mean, why are we taking down and changing names and doing all of this when the biggest monument to bigotry, sexism, racism, the biggest monument to perpetuating and promoting slavery, the disenfranchisement of women, the trail of genocide, the forcible relocation of Native Americans to other lands, the biggest monument to all of this is running a candidate for office on the Democrat ticket because it's the Democrat Party in 2020. It is the biggest living monument to systemic bigotry. It is the biggest living monument to disenfranchisement. The party that has been on the wrong side of history for literally every issue, huge issue we have faced as a country. The party that fought to protect slavery. The party that for 83 days filibustered the Civil Rights Act. The party that opposed women's suffrage. The party that stole land and sent people on a trail to their death. They desperately want to optically reinvent themselves as being the party for all, while clinging to policies that they have taken with them throughout the generations from the worst moments in history. These are the people that oppose school choice. They think that where you are born in should where you that should, where you should remain forever. These are the people that support gun control, and particularly gun control for minorities. They had another presidential candidate that was running, and that's part of his belief. He's founded two groups. He runs one group, Moms Demand, which is a fake group that he hired the Monsanto GMO spokesperson to go in front that group and act like it was a grassroots creation when it wasn't. And Democrats just go with it. All the while telling people that, no, if you want to be authentically black, you'll vote for me. I mean, literally, Joe Biden has said, you're not black if you don't vote for me. Literal words from his mouth. And yet people are mad at Trump because what? Because he's a Republican. For no other reason. Now that's the biggest living monument to systemic bigotry. And if any of these people were in any way serious about it, they would start there. But that they protect it and that they refuse tells you all you need to know. Why should you take unserious people seriously? Why should you be expected and it be demanded of you to take seriously people who are unserious about any of these issues? And their lack of seriousness has been betrayed by their lack of consistency. All of these, there's a lot of politicians out there. A lot of them have been speaking out. People like Chip Roy have been speaking out. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, some others. But I really want to remind people, you need to remember that this is not the responsibility of the president to fight for this. Not the sole responsibility. It's not the sole responsibility of these lawmakers to take this, these stands. One of the reasons why you have some of these soft Republicans in the first place is because they're too afraid to stand because they think that they're not going to have any shade when they do. You are the shade. You are the people who provide a backbone and give these people strength. You need to be so vocal that the elected leaders who need to push back against this stuff can draw strength from you. That is your duty as a citizen. That is your responsibility as a citizen. This is what I'd like to see people around the country do. I think you guys should have conferences and rallies with local law enforcement organizations. Solidarity rallies. You need to be planning them. Plan them on Facebook. Organize them. I don't care if 15 people show up. Live stream it. Hashtag it. Have a solidarity rally with local law enforcement. Tell your media that you're doing it. Talk to the media. Be peaceful and gracious, which I know that's preaching to the choir. But you need to give loud public support, particularly to your fellow citizens who decide that they want to go and serve and protect. Let me just share with you a new poll. 10,000 officers were surveyed for a poll that was just released today. They were asked about their thoughts on law enforcement, on staying in their job. But the one that got me, less than 7% would recommend becoming a cop. Less than 7%. These are people who go and they serve and protect, and they go and enforce the laws that the people they serve and protect write by way of voting for the people who put them into effect in locally elected positions. If you don't like police reforms, blame yourself. If you don't like regulations on policing, blame yourself. You don't get to, as an American, with the amount of freedom that we have this Independence Day, you do not get to sit on your ass, not honor your social contract, and not participate in civics, and then also complain and moan that it isn't what you wanted it to be, particularly when you had no at all involvement in shaping it. Although some did. Some vote Democrats. Some vote for the very people who create this stuff. And they vote for them year after year after year. When these police were asked, would you encourage your son or daughter to go into law enforcement? Over 80% said no. When asked, if you had to do it over again, would you enter law enforcement? Over 35% said no. Over 26% said not sure. When asked about would you like to leave your profession, 44% who had been in it for this long said that they're just going to wait for their pension eligibility and then they're gone. And when they were asked how satisfied are you to be in law enforcement, over half said not as much as I used to be. Politicians are the politicians. The people are the shepherds. We need to honor our social contract too. So I want to hear if you're going to be doing solidarity rallies. I'm being totally serious. I want to see you plan them. I want to see them organized. I want to see them held. And I think that this is something that we need to seriously organize and start.
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I will always play that Fortunate Son song, and because I have appropriated it, just an FYI. I have appropriated it, and I'll run it into a hole in the ground for what I want to do with it. So that's what happens when you pay to have publicly licensed music, John Fogerty. God bless America. Okay. All right, let's get going here. This is funny to me. A Florida man was arrested because he impersonated a police officer so he could get himself a discount at Dunkin' Donuts. That takes some beans, man. The sheriff, this was in north of Tampa. The guy's name literally is Chuck Berry, but A-R-R-Y. And he pretended to be a law enforcement officer so he could get himself a discount when he was going through the drive-thru of Dunkin'. And he displayed himself a law enforcement Sheriff Star badge, and he wanted a, but he was denied because the Eagle Eye employees there were like, this doesn't look legit. So he got in trouble because you can't impersonate an officer. That's actually not legal. Stick with us. More in store.
No, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization run by three avowed Marxists. Go check. Black Lives Matter has been planning to destroy the police for 3 years. They've finally gotten stupid Democrat mayors to agree with them. Please remember that all the lawlessness is happening in Democrat cities run by Democrats, sometimes for 40, 50, and 100 years.
Yeah, well, that's Rudy Giuliani, and he's not correct. In fact, I think it's been longer than 3 years. He's not incorrect, I meant to say. They've been doing this. The only thing I would disagree with is that they've been doing this for actually longer than 3 years. Way longer than 3 years. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And of course, ahead of Independence Day weekend, there was a Black Lives Matter activist arrested for attempted murder after firing a gun into an SUV in Provo. Provo. Yeah. Total BLM dude. Jesse Taggart. A white guy, too. Black Lives Matter activist arrested for allegedly, even though it's on video, shooting a driver at a Black Lives Matter riot in Provo. He pointed his gun in the SUV and unloaded. Where's the media? Where you at, media? Just curious, where are you guys at? I mean, they love saying this and they love, you know, all of that, but where are you? I'm curious. MIA. And there's a lot of stuff like this. No, he's right. And the whole thing with, it's like the Mott Bailey. It's a Mott Bailey argument. When you have the discussion, this is what they've been trying to get Pence on for. Black Lives Matter is a phrase, but it is an actual established organization, a Marxist organization that is admittedly on camera Marxist. And less of a priority is criminal justice reform and policing reform. Most of it is about trans issues, Marxist economic reform, and destruction of the American family unit. I mean, there's this thing called the internet, and their policy platforms are published on it. I mean, I'm not saying anything that they have not typed out. So, yeah, that's when you're the Mott Bailey argument. When you're talking about Black Lives Mattering, this is the conflation that people are using as a way for its psychological conditioning. They think if they say it enough and then they can get you to say it, then you're going to be able to more easily accept the Marxist indoctrination that the official organization is providing. So the mod is, well, you know, everyone's lives matter and racism is a moral deficiency. But the more controversial, the true intent that they're promoting is, well, we need to completely restructure the United States to Marxist principles and, you know, all of these other social issues. And if you don't believe in any of these, then you have a problem with race. Well, that's an indefensible position. So they retreat to, no, we were just simply saying, you know, talking about Black Lives Mattering. They're two separate discussions. But it is that. It's the whole, if you can get people to say it over and over again, then it's a form of conditioning. It's acceptance. It's okay that you bent the knee here. You stated what we wanted you to state. So that means you're now going to be more easily accepting of what the organization wants to promote, the issues for which the organization is advocating. And we've talked about those. I mean, you've seen the lawlessness. You've seen all that. This isn't a protest. It's a revolution. Stop thinking that the left doesn't mean what they say when they say they're going to go into neighborhoods and they say they're going to do this stuff. I'm just saying I'll give them some points for being honest, at least there. The ringleader in the attack on the Andrew Jackson statue, Democrats took down a Democrat statue, by the way. Is this, I can't say what I want to call him on air, Jason Charter, another white guy. Another white guy. He was arrested. He looks like a guy who sold jeans at Hot Topic back in 1999. He does. These are all these Marxists. I see tons of white Marxists getting arrested. And this whole, all of this, I'm sure there's going to be more protests over the weekend. Meanwhile, you're told that you can't go to church. My church hasn't reconvened yet. Told you can't go to church. You're shamed if you don't wear a mask, et cetera, et cetera. And this Marxist organization that is out there on the streets and along with Antifa carrying out the damage and the murder and mayhem, they're treated differently than everyone else. Americans are never going to get over the fact that when they had someone they love pass away, they were not able to have a funeral. Now, everyone believes that George Floyd, that doesn't matter what someone did leading up to this point, etc., that the behavior and the that was exhibited in the video was callous, and that everyone's in agreement on this. I'm not going to sit here and relitigate this and have to pay an indulgence to share a damn opinion. But he had the equivalent of three state funerals. Fox News broadcast it for an entire afternoon. I had Al Sharpton on my damn television. And then given political speeches. While people across the country, black and white, had loved ones that passed away and they couldn't even have even two or three people at a funeral. You're not going to get anybody to forget that anytime soon. There is an absolute unequal treatment. I had a friend of mine that lost a father-in-law. I had a couple of friends that lost people, including a friend that lost their dad. And they had to sneak in the hospital room to say goodbye. Although they didn't really get to say goodbye. He had already slipped into unconsciousness beforehand. And he was in his room alone, dying. And the family was not allowed to be with him. And then you had the equivalent of three state funerals broadcast on television the same week. So, this pandemic is a tool that is being used. Can you simultaneously believe that there exists a virus and that it is worldwide, and also that it is being exploited as a means of control? Yes, you can believe both of these things simultaneously. At least intelligent people can. You have all of these warnings that we might have more lockdowns. We might have... No. There was a statement that was signed. Let me pull this up. This was at CNN. It was signed on June 4th. Over 1,000 health professionals signed a letter saying, "Don't shut down protests using coronavirus concerns as an excuse." A group of health and medical colleagues penned an open letter to express their concerns that protests around the United States could be shut down under the guise of coronavirus health concerns. The letter, which went on to draw more than 1,200 signatures, focuses on techniques to reduce harm to people protesting racial injustice. The letter states, quote, "We created the letter in response to emerging narratives that seem to malign demonstrations as risky for public health because of COVID-19. We want to present a narrative that prioritizes opposition to racism as vital to public health, including the epidemic response. We believe that the way forward is not to suppress protests in the name of public health, but to respond to protesters' demands in the name of public health, thereby addressing multiple public health crises." They said, quote, "Staying at home, social distancing, and public masking are effective at minimizing the spread of COVID-19. To the extent possible, we support the application of these public health best practices during demonstrations that call attention to the pervasive lethal force of white supremacy," end quote. This is when the left admitted that they had no credibility and that this whole lockdown is a sham. How else do you expect people to interpret that? You have a letter from medical professionals stating that, no, this is more important. So the quarantine and the lockdown is inapplicable to this. At the same time, you have people who aren't allowed to say goodbye to loved ones. At the same time, you have people who are barred from going into religious services. At the same time, you have businesses being fined simply for trying to reopen and earn more money. You have people who go without healthcare treatments, because the funny thing about healthcare is that something can be unnecessary before it turns into something necessary. I mean, this, you can believe simultaneously that there exists this virus and that it is, it's bad, and that people have lost their lives to it, and that there is a particular demographic that is especially vulnerable. You can believe that, and that's true. But it's also true that it's being exploited as a means of control. And people are done. They're just done. They're closing bars. I was just looking at literally my list of everything that's been closed. It's actually too lengthy to even get into for the remainder of this segment. But this is, it's being used as a means of control. And in the meantime, all the states that were reopening, like the Texases and Floridas and everything else, you still have New York beating Texas, like by a landslide in fatality rate. But they act as though that Texas is, oh, Texas is the problem. You know, they went in, where's this headline that I have? I mean, so check this out. Here's the shot. I have this listed as shot and chaser. Headline. Internal messages reveal crisis at Houston hospitals as coronavirus cases surge. Gosh dang, Texas. Now, remember, Houston hospitals, and this is Harris County, okay? So, they crisis at Houston hospitals. These coronavirus cases are surging since Memorial Day, which is also right when the protests kick off. Oh, wow. And then here's from Newsweek, which is not a left-leaning entity, and they hate me to death. Houston protesters begin to fall ill with coronavirus after marching for George Floyd. Harris County, where Houston is, has added hundreds of new cases each day. One Houston resident contracted coronavirus. She took part in the marches. And, of course, they focus on, despite the illness, she has no regrets about her decision to march. But they're using this literally as a reason to keep you from working and going to restaurants and even just having the economy open. Houston police reported a huge uptick in cases because, see, the incubation period is between 2 to 14 days. And so the Houston mayor, Sylvester Turner, says, okay, well, people who gathered closely in public, i.e. protested, you should get tested for the virus. So all these people are getting tested for the virus. And guess what? There was a huge rash of cases. But they get mad at Trump because Trump doesn't wear a mask when he's outside in the sun talking to reporters. It's BS. I'm not saying that the virus is BS for the people who are unintelligent, but the exploitation of it to keep people home while actually putting a moratorium on it as it applies to protests and riots, you have no authority, no high horse, no advantage over anyone else when you try to complain or criticize or attack them for having trust issues with these same professionals, right?
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So I just came across this headline. This also is probably not on your bingo card. Jason Momoa has been cast as Frosty the Snowman. Yeah, Frosty the Snowman. Now, I know what you're thinking. I am thinking it a lot as well. But apparently, it's a live-action remake. So is he going to voice it, or is it going to be like some sort of CGI chimera? How is that going to work out? I don't know. But there's not a lot of details, but we do know that he's... Is it going to be like Cats? Please don't do that. Oh my gosh, that's even more terrifying. Can you imagine? No, like the Cats version of Frosty the Snowman starring Jason Momoa. That's weird. It's weird. It's just not right. Anyway, I felt like you should know that going into this Independence Day weekend. The Washington Free Beacon says, contrary to claims from Chinese officials and the World Health Organization, China did not report the existence of the coronavirus in late 2019, according to the World Health Organization timeline. The same organization that Joe Biden's like, yeah, we need to start giving them all of our money again because that worked out real well for us. Speaking of Biden, oh, goodness. Actually, let me do this. This Amazon driver was fed up with long hours and making several hundred stops a day, so he quit mid-shift, abandoned his van at a gas station with the keys in the ignition. Then you shouldn't have taken the job. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
It is the government sanction that denied African-Americans their equality, and as well, the government's responsibility with this 13-member commission to design the responses to the continued death, murder, and inequities in our community. This is America's responsibility to pay, the American government's responsibility to pay her debt.
That's Sheila Jackson Lee, who all of the protests and everything that took place in Houston, where she is from, that was where the spike in all these cases happened, and then Harris County wants Greg Abbott to shut all down Texas because people didn't socially distance when they went out and protested and rioted. Nope. For that alone, you better say no. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. That was Sheila Jackson Lee talking about reparations. I don't owe anyone anything, and it's the American government is the people, and they don't owe anyone anything either. So the end of it. No. No. And? Next. Stop indulging this. Stop. Like this headline right here. I told you I had a million of them. I gave up even putting these on my rundown because I'm so frustrated. This is an actual headline. And I'm not quite sure how, this is a new word that they made up and I don't know how they wanted it pronounced. The headline is seemingly harmless racist phrases to avoid around your BIPOC friends.
BIPOC.
B-I-P-O-C.
Oh. Like they're biracial, so by people of color, so that would mean they're biracial.
Whoa. They're people of color who are bisexual, or they're...
Wow, that's a good question. I would imagine it's biracial is what they mean.
Okay.
And not just bisexual people of color. I'm just going to guess that.
Do you have to go down to, like, the footnotes there?
Yeah. Again, I'm just guessing.
I mean, biracial is a person of color, right?
May I clarify? Yeah,
yes, please, for the love of all things holy.
So I think indigenous includes Native Americans, so it's black indigenous people of color.
Okay. There you go.
Makes more sense.
Okay. So this headline is seemingly harmless racist phrases to avoid around your, black, what he said, friends. And they say, oh boy. So you cannot say anymore, it was a joke, calm down, because it reeks of colonialism.
What? Calm down?
No. Quote, it was a joke, calm down.
Well, it seemed different.
These are subheads and then a little explanation underneath each of them. And then people, blank people are racist too. You can't say that. What I said or did is not racist. You can't say that. Are you sure that is what they said? That is also racist. Where did your parents meet? That's racist. Yeah. The revolution is complete when the language is perfect. Just say it over and over again because that's where we are. That's where we are right now. What's the rally going to be like at Mount Rushmore, you think? I think it's time for a national kegger. At this point, honestly. Trump should have like a rally and then bring up law enforcement. You know how I was telling everybody, y'all need to go out there and have like solidarity rallies with members of your community who agree voluntarily to take on the unappreciated role of policing? Trump should do that nationally. He should. I think that there needs to be that kind of rally point. There needs to be that rally point. It feels like a weird Independence Day. We're not able to go do anything. We can't light off fireworks. I can watch my town's fireworks from my backyard.
Do they still sell that? Remember the George Washington recipe of Budweiser beer or whatever that was.
That was good.
That was really good.
It was delicious.
I haven't seen it on the shelf or anything, and I think that'd be something to enjoy during the Independence Day holidays. And
if you can't get it, just write George Washington on the can.
Actually, that's a great idea.
It's the same thing.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah. And beer, George Washington enjoyed beer. I watched a whole documentary on how beer saved humans. Because you couldn't drink the water in a lot of places, and so that's why alcohol took off. Because it, you know, would kill any of the nasty stuff that would make you sick. So everybody had it. But Washington, he liked beer. That's true. And he served it, and he brewed some stuff and all kinds of things. It just is, it's weird in Independence Day, because you have mandatory mask laws now. All of this is, we're told businesses have to stay closed, etc. It doesn't feel like we're celebrating any kind of independence. It feels like the government's like trying to force us to become dependent or to be dependent. But it sure as hell doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same at all. This is just, I can't even imagine if Trump wins in November what that's going to be like. Gosh dang. Right? This is just from 2016. There is a virtual convention being organized for some activists. They want to produce a list of demands for the administration. It's the 2020 Black National Convention on August 28th, and it's like a virtual broadcast. Well, if they're making a list of things to present, it sounds like they're planning for a Biden administration. And even though he has fought against all the things that they have claimed that they've wanted and have actually been at least somewhat realized in some of the policing reform from this administration is not going to get any credit for it, because it's not about doing things right. It's not about credit. It's a revolution. It's not a protest. Which brings me to this. So I shared this link with you guys. They're actually, you know how I joke about the torches and pitchfork store? They're actually doing this in the Hamptons. Page Six has the story about how a caravan of protesters yesterday, some of them with actual pitchforks, descended on the Hamptons to blast the rich and to decry the rising income equality. It's not a protest, it's a revolution. This isn't about race. They had a couple hundred people out there, and they visited Mike Bloomberg, which at least, okay, you're consistent there. He's a gun control guy, which is a racist policy. They screamed, tax the rich, not the poor, which literally is, that's not how any of it works. Don't even tell me that, because I see how much I have to pay in tax, so you can sit the hell down. They were screaming outside of Bloomberg's $20 million Southampton mansion. They went to all these rich people's houses in the Hamptons. And they're mad because Cuomo was proposing to cut 20% in state funding from some of the schools and other things. And they were mad. They said that the virus outbreak impacted minority communities more. Some of the organizers included the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. They had 40 medallion cabs. That medallion's hard to get. And they were already in debt, by the way. That's one of the reasons why there's been such a fight with the gig economy drivers. They stopped by the mansions owned by Blackstone CEO, a bunch of hedge fund people. But they went out, they were out there, like some of them had literal torches, or literal pitchforks rather, actual pitchforks that they took out. Going to people's homes there in the Hamptons. Well, most of the people in the Hamptons are liberal. They're mostly leftist, so this is sort of like a cannibalization thing. And while I am interested in it, I also recognize that the moment the uppity progressives who own the Hamptons homes, like the Bloombergs and that, the moment they feel as though the stuff that they're okay with being in the cities and other and middle class neighborhoods, when it comes to their Tony Hamptons seaside neighborhood, that's when stuff changes. Just like Mayor Jenny, tons of fun down there at Chaz Chop Seattle. She was totally fine with the Summer of Love. She thought those people were her friends. And then when they started protesting on her front porch, that's when she realized, oh, well, hell, what? Yeah, she had to do something. So then she's going to call in the law. Mayor Jenny's going to call in the law. All of a sudden, it's law and order because you went to her house. She didn't care about anybody else's house. That's how these old people are. I mean, it's funny because they're going to some of the very big, rich, billionaire donors who donate to the Marxist organizations that help organize all of the stuff across the country, which I think is fascinating. This isn't about police brutality. They were complaining about wealth.
And they must be unaware that we have record receipts of taxes coming in. So
yeah,
the tax cut caused more jobs and therefore more taxpayers. And now we have more tax money coming into the coffers of the United States
right.
government.
Right. Exactly. So that...
we're not under tax.
Yeah, we're not under tax. It's not a problem. That is not a problem. So they're closing beaches in Florida, correct? They're closing a lot of beaches before, even though that's exactly the opposite of what we're told by the coronavirus science. We're told that it doesn't do well out in the heat and the sun and the humidity and all of that stuff. But yet they're closing beaches down. And they're trying to say, too, oh, it's all the young people that were going to the bars and beaches, except all the hot spots happened where you had the most protests and riots following Memorial Day. I mean, Newsweek just did a story on it. Newsweek, the far left socialist statist entity.
Think coronavirus spreads farther when you're yelling? Like if you're yelling
probably.
And screaming.
You mean forcefully expelling sound out
yes.
of your throat?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would imagine then protests would represent a much larger danger than just going to the freaking beach.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that being a socialist provides one with some special antibodies.
Really?
Apparently, that's how, I mean, I guess it's the science because Republican rallies are bad. And if you even get together to watch fireworks in your town, you can't even do that. I'm telling folks, I would like to see, like, if the nation goes more into a lockdown, I'm curious as to what the reaction would be to, like, nationwide solidarity rallies with law enforcement. Wait until you see the difference in the way it's treated by media. Oh, no, that's not going to be acceptable. You people are going to be spreading the virus. Yeah, but I still say, and again, I come back to, it was BS, and you knew it was the moment you had all these health professionals sign this letter saying, oh, no, they have to be able to protest because this is special. It's different. You can't use the pandemic as an excuse to shut down the protests. Yeah, you can't use the pandemic as an excuse to shut down churches. It's just like you can't use the pandemic as an excuse to shut down everything else, force people to wear diapers on their faces, and you know, et cetera. I don't believe a single damn thing I hear about this anymore. Not a single thing. I do not believe a single thing that I see in the news about this or anything else. I will just look at what local hospitals release in terms of numbers, and that's pretty much it. And by the way, in Houston, they were taking issue with the numbers that Democrats in Houston were trying to push as to the pandemic spread.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
It's been widely reported, as you just said, that the hospitalization rate is going up, but it's not reported that it's not mostly COVID-19. It's actually the cases that were there because of the reopening, because they're now getting the elective surgeries they need, cancer operations, heart disease operations, hernia operations. That they're filling the hospitals. Only the COVID-19 is actually getting in the way of that because these mild cases require isolation.
Yep, that is true. That's Dr. Mark Siegel. And one of the other things that health officials in Texas were stating, when you look at the quote-unquote increase in cases, there isn't actually a time period that they're going by. They're including in that count old cases. They're counting new cases with old cases and presenting it as a new total, just so you know that. That's why I'm saying you can't trust anybody. You cannot trust anybody.
And they're highly avoiding the death toll in conjunction to the amount of cases that were discovered.
Yeah, and all of the reporting on it, it's very, very rare to actually find that included as to give some perspective and all of that. And that's just malicious. That is so malicious to do that. You're to shut people down and to make kids think that there's a possibility that they won't even go back to school, which would be so bad for their mental health, I think, and to be around their friends and have life normal as they know it. to do that because you want to influence an election. And when I see these bureaucrats and these politicians and this legacy media, their vehicle of support, present old data with new data and then act like you're reporting on it as though it is a brand new sum, that is so deliberately misleading that, yes, normal, average, everyday people are going to go and they're going to question the intent of this, and they should. We have every right to question your motives and your intentions when you're lying to the people about how many new cases there are and why. And when you refuse, and New York, they're considering issuing subpoenas for contract tracing, but yet they won't, absolutely, they're not allowed to ask whether or not the people who test positive were at a protest or a riot. This is malicious. This has nothing to do with health. This is control. People who do this don't have health in mind. This is about control. If they really had health in mind, they would be honest with everybody from the beginning. They would be consistent. And they wouldn't be exploiting it as a way to keep people who are Republican and conservative and libertarian home so that everyone else can go out and raise hell. This Independence Day, I want you to realize that we have never, honestly, we're in a revolution now. How it ends is up to you. But we're there now. Absolutely we are. And as I said, the revolution wasn't the War of Independence. It was everything that led up to it. And then when nothing else could be done, did the Continental Congress and George Washington, they reluctantly, because they knew what it was going to cost. I hope we never get to that point in the United States ever again. But we are in a revolution now. And if you want to shape the outcome, you need to be involved. Today in Stupidity Came.
All right. Governor Cuomo is out there. I don't know how he's comparing himself to the job Trump's doing, because New York is just the worst. But here's what he has.
When you're in a hole, stop digging. Will Rogers. It's time for the president to actually tell the truth. The first thing he can do, come clean with the American people. Admit the threat of this virus.
What?
Admit you were wrong.
Wrong about what?
It's not an admission. Everybody knows you were wrong.
About what?
Doesn't cost you anything. At least have the courage to admit what everybody else already knows.
That you killed a bunch of old people?
Yeah.
Thank you, Cuomo.
Not how it works. Folks, happy Independence Day, and remember that you're free. So act like it. God bless America.
It's the Dana Show.